Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? You guys having a good summer? All right, I know. I hear my vacation's next month, so I'm kind of having that same kind of summer so far. But you know, I love the summer. It reminds me every year for the past 8 years, except for this year, I coach football. And one of the things that are happening right now, my wife and I were taking our dog out for a walk, and we take him to the high school so we could throw the ball, and he goes running after it. But there's a bunch of kids out there, they are practicing for football. So I really miss that. I miss coaching those kids so much. I mean, I miss making them run. And I miss yelling at them, and I miss seeing some of them throw up because they're running so much. No, I don't miss that. But I do miss being among the kids, and it brings back so many memories of when I played football for the very same high school. My very last football game, we won the championship that year, and we went on to the North Coast Section where we won a couple of games. It came down to the North Coast Section semifinal before you go to the Coliseum. And we were playing against this team called Monta Vista, and they're like ranked number one in our division that year. And I remember it was back and forth. Nobody's score was 0-0. There was only several ticks left on the clock in their fourth quarter, and they're about on the 50-yard line, too far to kick a field goal for high school kids. And so I just remember the last play of the game, the coach called this all-out blitz, and I was a linebacker. So I was on defense on that play, and I had to go try to stop the person that was trying to score, which was the quarterback in their team. So they go back to pass, down set, go. The quarterback rolls out to the right, and I see him. He's right in my sight, right in my vision. I'm thinking, I'm going to just clobber this guy. So I see him rolling out to the right, and I see his arm come up like this. And right in his arm came up, boom, I just smacked him. And I just hear the crowd just going crazy. Yeah! And I'm thinking, he had to have fumbled the ball or something happened, you know. And I look up, and it's the opposing team's crowd going crazy. You see, he had thrown a long bomb. The guy had caught it in the end zone for a touchdown, and we ended up losing the game. I'm just like, oh, last football game of my whole career. Good times. Now, you know, we totally lost. But it brings back that memory, and it's interesting because God uses those moments of disappointment. He uses those moments to teach us to, as we look back on something. You see, when I was 18, back then, I wasn't a Christian yet, but even then, God was trying to teach me something, you see? And God uses those moments. I believe he wants to use this moment to teach us something, and I'm going to be using some football references, and that's why I brought that story up. But do you guys believe that God wants to teach us something this morning? Do you believe that we are all on the same team, those who follow Jesus Christ? You guys believe that? Yes, you do. So our objectives should all be the same, yeah? All right. You said it. Let's all stand up. You said you were on the team. You know that song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus? You know what the next line says? No turning back. In other words, don't get up and leave. All right, before I start the message, just read from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. And I don't have my glasses on, so I can't see that TV, so I'm going to see this, look read from this one. This is the third time I'm coming to you. Every charge must be established by evidence of two or three witnesses. Before we go on, this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church, okay? 2 Corinthians, which means this is his last letter there. I warned those who sinned before and all the others, and I warn them now while absent, as I did when present on my second visit, that if I come again, I will not spare them. Since you seek proof that Christ is speaking in me, he is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but in dealing with you, we live with him by the power of God. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test. But we pray to God that you may not do wrong. Not that we may appear to have met the test, but that you may do what is right, though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. Your restoration is what we pray for. For this reason, I write these things. While I am away from you, that when I come, I may not have to be severe in my use of authority that the Lord has given me for building up and not for tearing down. Let's pray. Lord, I love how your word rings true for us some 2,000 years later, that we are the same people that need to hear the truth. So, Lord, that's what I pray. I pray that even as we stood up and said, hey, that's me, I'm on that team, I'm on Team Jesus, that we would now adhere to your word and we would be shaped by you this morning. And ask this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, you guys can have a seat. Now, you know, growing up in Newark, some of you guys might know this name, Ron Johnson. He was the defensive coordinator for our high school. And he was like 6'5". 300 plus pounds. The guy was a monster. I mean, when I was a kid in high school, he was just this massive man that had this deep booming voice. Like when he told you to do something, you did what he told you to do. And I'll tell you what, one of the very first questions that even before we won the championship, the very first practice, he came up to the team, he gathered the defensive unit together, and he said, what is your objective? What do you guys want to get done? And everybody's like, we want to win the championship. You know, we want to win. We want to take it all, coach. And the coach is like, you want to win everything. You guys want to go undefeated. You guys want to be the best team you possibly can be. And everybody's like, yeah, we want to be that team, you know. Now, just a little backstory, Newark Memorial. Okay, so we had Newark High School. And then we have Memorial High School, two different schools in Newark in high school. And it was my sophomore year we actually joined. Now, before, Memorial was terrible at football, and Newark was terrible at football. As a matter of fact, our only hope of winning a game for every season was when we played each other. That's how bad we were. It was that bad. So I remember my senior year, we had been together for at least 3 years at that point, and we started to come together. But I remember the coach wrote down every single score that we had lost by, and it had been like this ridiculous number, like 400 and something points to like 14. Yeah, it was just ridiculous. And some of you guys from Newark and from Memorial know that that's true, right? It was just ridiculous. So we would just get this, and he's like, now, do you guys, we all want the same thing, right? We all want to be the best team we can be, which means that we most likely, if we do perform the way that we're supposed to perform, and if I do the job that I'm supposed to do, then we should become something special. Now, I don't want me to brag or boast, but we are still considered the best team in Newark's history, football. Yes. So, I know. That puts me in a higher standard in your guys' eyes. I know that. Not. But Coach Johnson, that's one of the things I want to talk about. You know, so we understood. So let's all get these kind of concepts in our mind. That he had a job to do as our coach, right? He had a job to do. We had a job to do as players on the team. And the common denominator was that we all had the same objective. Can you guys get those three concepts in your mind? That he had a job to do. We had a job to do. We had the same objective at the end. You see, Coach Johnson, I think about some of the things that he used to do. He used to, you know, he's like, okay, if that's what you guys want to do, then get on the line. And we're like, okay, yeah, coach. And so we get on the line. He'd start blowing that whistle. You know, 40-yard sprint, 40-yard sprinting back, 40 yards back this way, 40 yards back this. I mean, he would just blow that whistle and blow that whistle. We're like, what is he doing? You know, by the end of the day, we're like running 20, 30, 40, sometimes sprints at a time. And we're just worn out. We're like, what is he doing? And we're like, coach, are we going to learn the plays? He's just like, do you want to learn to play? Then guess what? Get up on the line again. You know, he just blow that whistle. You see, what we didn't understand was that he was trying to show us that conditioning was so key. What I didn't understand until the very end of the season was that we were winning a lot of those games in the fourth quarter because we were, guess what, running a lot of those sprints. You see, we had to understand that he knew somewhat what he needed to accomplish even before we got to the playbook, which eventually we did. But we had to trust that he had a plan in place, that he already knew the playbook and he knew what it would take for us to become everything that we wanted to become. It's one of the reasons why I asked you in the very beginning is that you, do you want to become everything that Jesus Christ has established and purposed for you to become? And you guys said, yes. Paul, let's look at this passage. This will be my third visit to you. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I already gave you a warning when I was with you the second time. I now repeat it while absent. On my return, I will not spare those who sinned earlier or any of the others. Since you are demanding proof that Christ is speaking through me, he is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For to be sure, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power, we will live with him to serve you. You see, some things were happening with these people in Corinth. They were like throwing pot shots at Paul. Now, I want to read at chapter 10 of the same book. It kind of will clarify a little bit of what was happening. This is Paul writing again, and he says this, starting in verse 1, chapter 10. By meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away. See, he's being very sarcastic there, by the way. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. You see, Paul is, they're saying, Paul, you're one way when you're with us, you're this meek person, but when you write these letters, you're like, ah, you know, you're really strong. So they're questioning some of these things that Paul, it's like, Paul, really, are you modeling that for? I mean, what's going on? You're this way, you're meek with us, but you're strong when you're writing these letters. And Paul is like saying, no, I'm the same Paul. And guess what? If I need to bring the obedience, if I need to bring the bigger stick the next time I come, I will do that. Why? Because Paul had a job to do. You see, just like that Coach Johnson knew that what our objective was, Paul had a plan in place. You see, Paul was saying, no, I'm gonna stick to this standard. You know, the standard that we all agreed to. The standard that followers of Christ agreed to. I'm going to stick to that. Not the standard of what the world says is right, but what the Word of God says is right. And as long as I'm in the Word, am I trying to model that for you? Guess what? God has appointed me to be your coach, to be that person who's going to set you straight if you're not walking according to this purpose and plan. You see, Paul is saying, and as you discover some of these things, you'll see that, man, I love you, but it's my job to make sure that you guys get this standard right, even as he tries to do it. You know, I think about Coach Johnson, and one of the things that we used to do, we used to run these plays over and over and over and over again, and every time that we got it, you know, he's like, hey, we're going to run 34 Eagle Smash, okay, ready, set, down, set, go, and we'd run it, and we'd run it wrong. He's like, hit the fence. Somebody did it wrong. That's how we knew somebody did it wrong. Hit the fence. You know, then we'd plot again. All right, same play. 34 Eagle Smash. Your eyes ready? Ready, break. Down, set, go. Did it wrong. Hit the fence. You know, and we're like, oh, fourth time we had to run, hit the fence, you know. And by the fifth time, same play, the Eagle Smash. Blah, blah, blah. And then by the time, the fifth time, he would just go like this. And everybody knew what that meant. That we got it wrong, we had to hit the fence again. You see, Coach Johnson had an idea. He understood that there was a standard that he needed to live by, and not only that, but he needed to keep other people's focus and attention on what that standard was. You see, we had a playbook that all of us had. Coach Johnson was a huge part in putting this playbook together. And he understood what needed to happen in order for us to become what we wanted to become, that championship team, to become that player on the team that knew what to do. You see, he had a job to do. And it's amazing that Paul, he doesn't let these things kind of set him off course. He could have easily said, you know what, man, maybe I should not be so strong with you guys. Maybe I'm wrong about what God's word says. He could have said all those things, but no, he's like, no, I need to model what it looks like for somebody to really believe the Word of God and it stands for something. So Paul, he had a job to do. To me, it's amazing that we that we have this opportunity in front of us, Cedars Church, to get it done, to really represent Jesus Christ in this world. You see, Paul had this idea of that there's a standard that we could live by that was possible, and that even though there was people that were like throwing pot shots at him, he would not allow that to cause him to disengage and say no. No, he's going, no, I'm going to stick with this, and guess what? And I'll bring the authority as God calls me to bring it, but we need to have the whole standard. He's not going to preach part of the truth. He's not going to just give you words that tickle your ears and say, yeah, that's a comfortable thing. Paul's going to say, no, I'm going to bring the whole truth of the Bible. And guess what? That's going to make us uncomfortable, or it should, right? Because it's going to go against, guess what? The standard of what? Of the world. You see, we should feel uncomfortable at times. We should come under duress when we're saying, no, I want to adhere to what God's playbook says to me, and I want to do that right. You see, Paul had a job to do. His job was to make sure that no, he brought correction where correction was needed according to God's purpose and plan, according to God's word, not because Paul wanted to, but because God's word has a standard for us. You guys understand that? That's not only for Paul, but it's for all of us. It's for all of us. The second thing is that we have a job to do, right? I'm going to read on it in the 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to read chapter 5 or verse 5. And it says this: examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. Not that the people will see that we have stood the test, but that you will do what is right, even though we may have seemed to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We are glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong. And our prayer is for you, for your perfection. You know, Paul is basically saying, guess what? Yeah, you know, you're looking at me and you're questioning some of the things that I might be saying or doing, or maybe even saying that I'm weak one way and I'm strong another. But guess what? You have a job to do. You should be examining yourselves. You should be testing yourselves. And even in the testing, you'll probably see that, no, you know what? Paul was trying to adhere to his word. That's what Paul is saying. You're going to find out that maybe we weren't wrong, that maybe I wasn't so weak, that maybe that some of the things that I was saying was right. Coach Johnson, he was, this towering man, and he played football for Cal Berkeley on a scholarship. And I just found out, I was talking to Coach Hess, that he actually played football for the Raiders for a little bit. But until he got a knee injury that blew his knee out, he wasn't able to do it. So was he qualified to teach me how to play linebacker? Yeah, he was. He had all the qualifications in the world. And if you look at Paul, Paul is saying, look, guess what, man? You should examine yourself. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. You know, I was thinking about some of that same NCS game that I was playing in. And I was on defense. I was a linebacker. And the defensive guy tries to stop the guy that has the ball. That's the easiest way I could say it. And if you're on offense, you're supposed to grab the ball and try to do what? You're supposed to try to score, right? Score a touchdown. So we had these two great, great running backs. One's name was Jimmy Gray. We called him Night Train Gray because he's a huge guy, 6'3", ran over 1,000 yards in high school. Then we had this real speedy guy. His name is Pope Powell. He still holds some of the track records, actually, at the high school. This really fast outside guy. Turned that corner, he was gone. He went over like, I don't know, 1,300 yards or something like that season. So, you know, I wasn't worried about, because I played running back as well, but I was like on fourth or fifth on the depth chart, you know. So, Jimmy Gray and Pope Powell, they scored all the touchdowns. They did everything except for this one game, this last game. Guess what? Jimmy Gray had shin splints, so he couldn't play. He lasted like a quarter and he was out. Pope Powell, he got tackled really hard. He hurt his leg, and so he was out. So I'm just like, oh, man, what are we going to do? And all of a sudden I hear, Al-Kasibai! I'm like, Coach, I'm a defensive guy. Like, I'm a linebacker. I don't play offense. He's like, Al-Kasibai, get in there. So I'm like, oh, my goodness. I run out there, you know, and I'm standing in the huddle, and the quarterback calls this play, you know, blue 51. Slight, and I'm just like, what am I supposed to do? I'm like, what does that mean? I'm talking my friend. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? He's like, just run straight. Just run straight. I'm like, oh, all right. So down said go. The ball was actually supposed to go to me. I totally missed it. The guy comes across the line, bam, just knocks my lights out. I mean, I'm like standing like, what happened? All of a sudden I hear the coach, Alcaceba, get over here. You know, I didn't know the play. I had no idea because at practice, yeah, when it was a defensive day, I was there. I paid attention. I knew what I was supposed to do. I worked hard, and I knew my defensive playbook. But on the offensive days, I was like fourth or fifth in the depth chart. I figured it'll never come down to me anyways. So I'd be in the back messing around, throwing mud at my friend, you know, joking, cracking jokes, and not paying attention. So when the time came for me to actually be in one of the most important games up to that point in my life, I wasn't ready. And I think about how Paul is saying to these people in Corinthians, yeah, look at me, but I want to challenge you now. Test yourself. Test yourself. I mean, there should be a point in time where we're saying, do I really know what God's word is telling me? Because if I don't know what God's word is telling me, then I'll be swayed every which way by any other standard that the world throws at me until I know what God's word tells me. You see, this is God's playbook. And if you don't know what God's playbook is saying to you, then I guess what? You're going to get your lights taken out. That's the bottom line. You are going to get smacked so hard that you're not even know what happened to you. You're going to believe any wind of doctrine unless you know your playbook. You see, and Paul gets it. He gets it. We're the same type of people that lived 2,000 years ago, that we are looking for a coach to get it right, and we're not asking the same of ourselves. So I'm asking you this morning, if you were to be put in that play, if you were to be called out, you know, if you were to be called out and said, hey, a friend of yours, his mom just passed away. You need to go to the hospital and pray for them. Would you know what God's word says? That he's near to the brokenhearted and ever-present help in a time of trouble. Would you be able to go? Would you not have to call me, Joel, or Jeff, or Tim Ruiz, or whoever? Would you be able to have your own playbook memorized and say, no, I know, I got this? Because guess what? We are an equipping church. That's what we are supposed to do as coaches. We're supposed to do our job so that you guys can go do that. Why do you think we want you guys to go through Rooted? Why do you think we want you guys to go to a house church? Why do you guys think we want you guys to be involved in a small group? It's so that you can begin to know your playbook and begin to do the work, begin to examine yourselves and say, no, I could go and do that. Send me in, coach. Because guess what? Until you know, you're going to be on the sidelines. And that's not what you were built to be. That is not what you're built to be. Cedars Church, you're meant to be in the game, being that player that has an impact because they know their playbook. You see, Paul got it right when he said, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves to see. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Man, you have all the power in the world that you will ever need. Jesus Christ resides in you. Unless, of course, you fail the test. Man, isn't it interesting that he says, test yourselves to see if you're what? If you are in the faith. To me, that's a scary moment, isn't it? To know that when Jesus himself said, you know, on that day, you know, people are going to say, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in your name? Didn't I do this in your name? And what is Jesus going to say to them? He's going to say, no, get away from me because I never what? I never knew you. You see, you were playing according to some other standard, to some other playbook, not by mine. To me, it's amazing that we have this book, this fantastic book, and man, we need to know it inside and out so that we can test ourselves and say, yeah, that's me. I'm in the faith. Yeah, I'm solid with Jesus Christ because I know his word and I know what he wants me to do. You see, it doesn't happen by osmosis. Test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Last thing is this. So that was your job. Very beginning, I challenge you guys, whoever is in following Jesus Christ, he wanted to improve, he wanted to continue to do that stand up. You guys all did. Sucker. No, just kidding. Paul writes this in verse 10. This is why I write these things when I am absent. These very strong things, right? That when I come, I may not have to be harsh and my use of authority. The authority the Lord gave me for building you up, not for tearing you down. You see, Paul understood that he and these people in Corinthians, they had the same objective. They had the same purpose. They had the same plan. They had the same playbook. And that the end game was not to tear them down. You see, the end game for Coach Johnson was not to see us throw up because we were working so hard. That's not what his end game was. His end game was, no, I want to see you become the best version of you that you can possibly be. That was his job as our coach. My job was to know the playbook. It was to practice hard, to work hard, and then when I got into the field, to do all that I could do when I was on the field to make an impact. Now, Paul is saying, no, that's ultimately what I want from you guys. It's not to tear you guys down. I want to build you guys up. You see, Paul, like us, like the leaders of this church, we love you guys. We love you guys. I want you guys to hear that. That, yeah, you guys could question some stuff, you know. You guys could question all day long. That's okay. But know that man, we are trying to follow as hard after Christ as we possibly can. And trust me, behind the scenes as a staff, we're saying, how can we better coach this church? How can we better equip and gear these people up so that when they get into the field of play, they won't get their lights taken out? You see, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And guess what? He's coming back. You know, Paul is saying, forget about me coming back. Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to ask us a question. And, you know, my greatest fear as a leader of this church is that we won't be able to answer him. That we became all that we became, or that we could become, that we did all that we could do to further his kingdom. Because that means that I'm not doing my job as a coach. That means you guys aren't doing your part as the players in the field. You see, and the whole staff, trust me, from Joel, Jeff, myself, Tim Ruiz, Brett, you name it, Laura, we all have the same heart that wants to see us win that championship for Jesus Christ. That's all we want. That's all we want. So you guys want to get it done? Thank you. Do you guys want to get it done? Because I tell you what, that very last game that I played, football, we all hung our heads when I got on the bus. That was literally my last football game. And I think about that, you know, your last day out here on earth. So my last football game. And we were all sitting in that bus. I'll close with this story. And I'll ask the worship team to come on up, too, if you guys can hear me. So we were on that bus, and that same Coach Johnson I talked about, this 6'5+, 300+, huge man with a booming voice who made us do all those plays over and over and over again, who made us run all those wind sprints, and who made us touch the fence, you know, 1,000 times, who made us do all these things, who was probably the toughest person outside of my dad that I ever knew. This guy, Coach Johnson, came into the bus after our last game, and he stood before us. And I'm just thinking, he's just going to tear into us. Like, Alcacebo, what were you in that play? You know, I was just thinking, here it comes, you know. And he stood up there before us, and he said, guys, we set out at the beginning of the season, and we all agreed that this is what we wanted to do. Because I'm so proud of you guys, because you guys got it done. You guys got it done. So Cedars Church, we want to stand before God, right? And we want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant, that you got the job done. That you got the job done. So I want to encourage you guys. One, I want you guys to pray for the leadership of our church. You know, pray for our leadership. Because guess what? Our hearts are for us. Our hearts are for you guys and for us. We love you guys. We want to build you guys up, not tear you down. We want to build you guys up. We're part of you guys. You guys understand that? Number two, I want you guys to step into it, to know what your playbook has to say. And not only that, but not wait for the coaches to tell you to run faster or to, you know, don't wait for that. No, if God is in this with us and he's given us his playbook, I want to encourage you that, man, if you want to jump into a small group, then contact Joel or look at and see who's running a small group. Jump into it. If you guys want to become part of the home church, man, don't wait. Contact Jeff. Contact, say, what's going on with that? And jump into it. But what I'm trying to tell you is don't wait. Don't blame the coaches because you guys aren't being equipped. You guys should be examining yourselves. You know what I mean? There's this playbook that you can look at yourselves and then say, no, I want to learn more. And then go seek out those places where that can happen. And finally, know that our objective is all the same. Our objective is all the same. We want to show up on that day when Jesus Christ comes back, yeah? And hear him say, good and faithful servant, well done. So we are an equipping church. We are an equipping church. We want to gear you guys up, so let's get geared up. Yeah? Let's get it done. I'm going to pray for us. Father, I want to thank you, and I want to praise you. That, man, there really is a challenge in front of us. There really is this strategy, this plan, this great playbook that you've given us, your word, the Bible. And Jesus, even in this moment, I do want to pray for us. I want to pray for us as leaders of this church. Lord, I want to thank you that we do have Jesus living in us. Would you forgive us for our shortcomings, God? Would you forgive us for our weaknesses? And now, God, would you restore unto us, God, this great vision that you have for us? Would you help us to keep it simple, to keep it straight, God? Pray that for the leaders of the church. I also want to pray for us, God, the players in the field. Lord, will we not idly wait for the coaches to get it right? We know the things that we're supposed to be doing. We have the playbook that you've given us. Would you help us, Lord? Would you, even now, would you forgive us of our weaknesses? Would you forgive us of our shortcomings? And now, Lord, would you restore unto us, God, that vision, that plan, that we wouldn't lose sight. We wouldn't lose sight, God. We wouldn't get caught up in blaming. We wouldn't get caught up, God, in what is wrong. But we would begin to be men and women, the church who knows the thing to do, and then we would do it. No excuses, God. And then would you, Jesus, help us to keep our eyes on the prize. Therefore, keep your eyes fixed on him. Would you help us to do that well, Lord, as we see the day drawing close? So, Jesus, we need your help to do that. We want to become everything that you've called us to be, to get the job done. Everybody that wanted that said, amen.